So, Justin, you've gone from £15 an hour working in a butcher's to running a $4 million a year business. You're killing it on school. You're on this incredible community called Trade Launch. You're battling out for number one on the leaderboards right now. You're currently at 30K new monthly recurring revenue added. How the heck did we get here, man? This is phenomenal.
Man, I don't know how I even got here. I look back and it's easier to connect the dots and, like, you know, making certain decisions that I didn't know and would benefit myself. But if we take it way back, so I just turned 26. My entrepreneur journey started at about 20 years old. I was just ended university. I used to play a lot of football. Finished high school playing football. Didn't really know what I wanted to do. Started kind of getting into like smoking weed and stuff. And just my ambitions just totally went downhill. I had a shoulder injury and I was like, what do I actually want to do with my life? And I took a leap year, like a gap year, grade 13. And then I went to university just because that's what I should have done. You know, that's what we got to do to pay the big dogs. So I'm there and just looking around and I'm like, this is not where I need to be at all. And I was taking psychology and I was just watching like self-development videos, like Alicia Long and like Elliot Hulse and all these different guys on YouTube. That's when all my time was watching that. Cause I was like pretty like socially awkward. I was just like really in my head a lot. And like, I just didn't feel it right in my situation. So I was just trying to figure out a way to get out of it. I ended up moving out around the same time. Cause even though I could have stayed living with my mom, I just knew that like I was reading like Robert Bly and like, you know, looking into my masculine journey, becoming like a quality, strong man. And I knew I need to start taking bigger risks and my situation would keep me here if I decided to stay. So I moved out. I actually moved out into my uncle's house, just like on the other side of the city. He went to Greece for a bit. So I was just paying his hydro. And that decision was the best decision I could have made. And that's why I tell some younger guys, like, hey, if you have a chance to move out, if the bills can afford it, you kind of get creative. And even if they can't afford it at first, you'll find a way to make it work. And that's when my life started. I felt like I was like, hey, now I'm on my own. I remember I was bar backing at the rec room. It's like a kind of sports bar. And I'm driving to work one day and I see this little like abandoned kind of shop, like looks like an organic farm market or something. It kind of looked intriguing. So on the way back from work, I stopped there and turns out it wasn't abandoned. The light was on. I walked in, this old guy is mopping the floor. And I felt like I was in a movie where I was like, the movie where I randomly asked this guy for a job. Like I just
Bro, you sound like this is in a movie. This is like your Mr. Miyagi moment.
And he's looking at me and I'm like, I'm asking questions. I didn't know it was a butcher shop. I thought it was just kind of like more convenience market kind of thing. And I'm just looking at him and he looked familiar. It just felt like I read this book called... The Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
I literally was just thinking about that. Like, as soon as you said it at the gas station, I was like, it feels like that moment.
100%. So I was reading that earlier, and I was reading The Alchemist, and like the guy when he goes to the gem shop. So I was like, this is my fucking time. And I just had a feeling and asked him for a job, and it was funny. He's like, do you know how to debone a chicken? And I have no fucking idea how to debone. Sorry, if I don't consent, I swear. I didn't know how to debone a chicken. But I was like, yeah, absolutely. He's like, okay, it's like, come tomorrow and show me how you can debone a chicken and you have the job.
Oh, no.
So I'm there. I'm like, yeah, I was actually here to buy some chickens. So I bought 4 chickens, went home. I'm YouTubing it. I'm practicing. I had some of my friends over. They're like judging my skills. And then I went back and I totally like messed it up. I butchered it. Didn't, you know, no pun intended. Didn't do a good job. He's like, you know what? I like the heart. You know, you can grind. So grinding was just like getting scrap meat and grinding it for like the different restaurants.
So you were like actually grinding. I thought you meant like, yeah, this guy can work really hard, but you were physically putting things through a grinder.
Grind in the back. So I started working there at Tazza Market. I started working their Instagram stuff and like, you know, using different things I'm learning to try to like build their business. Really didn't know much. I'm grinding and I'm noticing there's a lot of scrap meat that's getting thrown out. Chicken carcasses, the organ meat. So I was like, why don't we, you know, sell this as dog food? So I started grinding up that and like started a different breed, raw dog food. That was my first business. Nothing really happened there. I actually got a dog stick because I just didn't know what I was doing. So I was like, I'll put this thing down.
You got to break a few eggs, bro.
Yeah, a few eggs. So I was going door to door trying to sell this dog food because that's what I thought would be the best way to do it. And that didn't really work out. So then I ended up still working there, but I got another job. I liked the door-to-door side. So I got another job for a window cleaning company, knocking on doors. And I quickly was like getting about 30 leads a day, like knocking 3 hours, like 10 leads an hour. And so I was like, okay, like I like the door-to-door stuff, you know, I like business. And then I decided like, I'm going to go build the home service business where I can knock on doors and get leads basically. So I joined this student franchise called Student Works Painting. They kind of teach you the systems, you can run it. And then in our first year, we like beat the 40-year record. Building a business in the summer. And I had no idea about business. I just knew how to like work, whatever. So anyway, that led to me leaving, starting my own company and hiring a bunch of my friends. And now we're doing about $4 million a year. I've bought another painting business. And that's kind of where I've gotten. And I like the story because it's like, I feel like a lot of guys sometimes get discouraged if they don't have the business skill. I never took business class. I'm good with numbers now because I've been dealing with them. But at first I wasn't, didn't really know any of that stuff. So I just kind of followed my heart in a sense, and it just kind of brought me to where I needed to go.
So, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, if I'm understanding you correctly, it's like you got into the paint business, not because you knew how to paint, but because you're like, yeah, I like door-to-door sales.
Yeah. And actually, a little business that was inside of that is I started watching like through the self-development videos, I found Wim Hof, you know, like the Iceman, like cold.
Oh, yeah.
So this is like 4 or 5 years. Yeah. 4 years ago. I went and I bought his course and then I paid to go get his certification. So I went with Wim and we like hiked some mountains and did some cold plunges. So then I opened up a freezer in my backyard and started charging people $40 to come in and pop in and out for 2 minutes. Then it hit. So it was kind of hard for people to share a bath. It was kind of a hard sell. But yeah, I was trying different things and all the things end up kind of being like the Da Vinci effect where it's like, they all kind of worked out in some way, shape or form. Cold plunges help with the confidence, same with the door to door and then the skill and even at the butcher shop, like I learned, like when you take out the garbage, you put the garbage bag back on the garbage bin, like the simple stuff that we can forget. We're thinking of Harmozy and school games and all these things and like numbers. Sometimes we forget to like do the laundry or like little things, right? So I was really happy with how everything kind of turned out during the beginning.
Bro, wax on, wax off. Next thing you know, you're like just business fighting all over the place. You're like, come on. So I mean, there's bound to be some pitfalls along the way of like starting a painting business when you don't know how to paint. Talk to me about that,
bro. So so I went at it door to door and I sold 500k in like 4 or 5 months of just knocking doors. I didn't know, and I was pre-selling because we're in Canada, so we got winter. So I'd go in the winter, knock knock knock, sell for like springtime, and then we have like all this workbook. I have no employees. I'm like, holy shit.
Oh dude,
putting up job ads. I'm getting my buddy teach me how to paint. Like I didn't even know how to paint really. Like it was pretty brutal. So I got this beat up van. I hired this one guy as a production manager. I had 6 crews, so like 12 employees. You know, I decided to do a team orientation, which, you know, looking back, I'm glad I even thought about that kind of system. But I had a team orientation off Zoom, and I have a picture of me with a bongo, the Zoom on it. And I'm like in my like trap house with all my friends, like trying to run this business. And anyway, so the biggest pitfalls was just like biting off way more than I could chew, which was good because I just learned how to, you know, chew faster. But in the meantime, like I had to remember one day I wake up, I just fired my production manager because he was actually like sleeping with one of the painters. And that was a no, like, no, don't do that. So I let him go. I wake up in the morning, the van is stolen. All my stuff's in it.
Justin.
So I got my Honda Civic. It has a spare tire on just the back, so I never fixed it. Then one roof rack's broken. So I had to take a 40-foot ladder that day. There's another picture put up. I don't know if we do that, but it's hilarious. And it's me holding my ladder through the roof, driving. And all that was like, in the moment, it was shitty, but I knew that it would be a good story. And that's what I would kept on. I was like, this is going to be great. I'm going to be telling this someday. And that's what got me through a lot of like the pains of business and the touch-ups and the client complaints and the people quitting and all of that. And, I'm very glad I started my entrepreneur journey in like a boots on the ground business, because it's like pretty hard, man. Payrolls and all that stuff, like it's not glamorous. So.
Sure. So I'm really interested that you were able to view your journey in real time in the context of like, this is a great story. And like a lot of the amazing entrepreneurs we've had the chance to talk to, you know, they'll say similar things. They're like, and I knew that this would be a keynote speech someday. And I knew that this would make it in my book. So it's like, yeah. Where does that come from? Does it come from like listening and reading books like The Alchemist and like binging podcasts? Or like,
I think so. That? Hearing of people's stories as they look back on their life and they have joy talking about all the hard stuff. Cause that's where like a lot of respect is built among people. And if everyone had just an easy life, it wouldn't be as respectable. So I'm glad I understood that, because if I didn't have that frame, I could have crumbled, right? I could have complained and be ungrateful. But I had also had a coach at the time, and he was just saying like, man, this is a good problem. You know, you got 12 employees, you got to manage. Oh, boo hoo. Like, it's a great problem. These are all good problems. So do you want me to take these problems away? It's like, no, I'll take the problem. So that kind of frame helped a lot.
Sure. And it's interesting because, you know, I think one way to view entrepreneurship is basically just like, it's solving problems, right? And you had so many problems. So it's like, you know, like there's a great like kind of Japanese Toyota lean manufacturing philosophy that's like, be happy when faced with a problem. Ooh. And it's like, the more problems you have, it's like, it's great. Like the stronger your business is going to be. And it's interesting, the business that you run now and the school community that you run now, it's basically like taking all of that pain and just packaging it up and solving it for every single tradie who comes through your course, every single business owner who comes through it.
Yeah, 100%.
So talk to me more about the problems. Like, let's, instead of the value stack, like, give me the problem stack.
Okay, so let's go into this. So I hired my second production manager as my roommate. He was working at a factory making about 50K a year. And I was like trying to poach him because he was a stud. He played football. He's a hard worker. He's into self-development, really jacked. I was like, dude, you could just need to channel this. So I took a while to convince him, but I was like, I guarantee if you work with me, you're going to make 100K. And I was like, that's a big promise.
Double or nothing.
Yeah, definitely. So we started on like door-to-door sales, shaky at the beginning, and then he got into like how we set up and qualify estimates so they're more likely to book on the day, how to sell the quotes, and then over time how to translate those into production management, and tell him the framework. And you know, a problem is like hiring your best friend. Like, you guys butt heads, you have these crazy big blowouts and these awesome like get back togethers, and like, you know, so it was a problem, but it was also the best decision I could have made. And he's still here to this day. He has equity in the company now. We're co-owners, and we're really scaling this thing. The goal is to scale to the moon. And we brought other friends on. So the headache and everything, you know, so 2 weeks later, so this is the year before I hired him. I was in my first year where the van got stolen. I got the van back 2 weeks later. I got called the police and everything. I didn't have any insurance either. I was super embarrassed on that. I just didn't know what I was doing, man. I was just starting to run a business out of nowhere. So we had to go kind of hunt it down. There was this big Facebook trail of people taking pictures and talking about it in like our community and Facebook. So finally found these guys in like a local city near us, got it back. I have a funny video on my Instagram. It's like me pulling out these heroin needles and like porno tapes and like all this like Chinese counterfeit money from this van. And, pressure wash it, cleaned it out, got the van again. The next year, about the same time, I gave the keys to my friend now because he's the new production manager. Stolen again.
What?
Stolen again. Dude, it gets stolen again. So then I give him my truck. Because I was like, we need to manage production. This is all I got. Give him my truck. And I'm at this like award ceremony for this franchise I was in, just kind of telling about problems and stories just like this. And I'm on stage telling about how I got the van stolen and it's funny, we got it back. And then I leave the thing, get a call. Hey, bro, the truck stolen too. I'm like, so bought a new truck and whatever. And in the moment, I was mad, but I was also trying to be understanding of like, look, I can't get that mad at this guy because I also had it happen to me and it's a human error.
But if that truck goes missing a third time, like, you know, there's something dodgy going on.
People just say issuing and stuff. I'm like, dude, we're just in a ghetto spot downtown. Like, that's what it is. And I think he left the keys in and unlocked. So it's like,
okay. Well, you know, these things tend to happen, don't they?
Yeah.
So at what point do you start to like really systematize your business? You know, because, you know, we can only really scale to the level of simplicity in our business. And so I'm sure, you know, you kind of hit the glass ceiling like multiple times, but like, was there a moment where you kind of felt like, oh, bingo, it's finally starting to work?
Yeah, I would say that was this year. Well, that's like, bingo, it's really starting to work. Like, we got 6 estimators now, so sales are just way different and how things scale. But every year we've grown 100%. So we went from 500K to 1 million to 2 million to 4. And the goal is, let's keep going until we, like, you know, break. But we're thinking, okay, now it's going to be 20%, whatever. But every year, like the first year, the focus was like the sales. Like, I want to learn, how do I sell at like a high closing rate? Because most guys in the industry, they sell about 30%, maybe. They email their quotes. They look generic like everyone else. They promise all the same things. So I started thinking of like, how can we pre-qualify these estimates? So when I get there, they're already pre-closed. They have a soft committal. You know, both homeowners are there. They have an expectation of how the quote's going to go. I can write it up in my car. I can close on site with a nice little booklet about us. And like that kind of stuff is what I want to do first. And so sales was like pretty simple. We could scale that. I got all my leads door to door. I hired students around me, different ways we recruited students. I would train them. And that's when I started building Trade Launch in my first year, because I was like, I want to have all the door to door stuff. Like, instead of me having to go train them, like I can just send them to a module. And I used to be on Kajabi, and they can kind of watch through it, and then they can go out, and it saves me some time. And then, yeah, as we had, I would train door-to-door reps. I would then find the best couple guys, and I would start teaching them how to set up their own quotes, how to go and close. So soon I had guys that were getting their own leads and selling their own leads, which I was like, that's a cool system, because most contractors, they dread trying to find an estimator because they don't have the lead flow. And estimators are like, man, like I'm trying to feed my family here, and you're only giving me 3 leads a week. But when you start them out getting their own leads and then they progress into that, they're grateful if you give them an extra lead because they're just getting right. all the more. So that was a cool thing that we had going. And then the next year was really focused on production, getting site supervisors, not just hiring students because that's all I knew. Hired professional people. And then the next year with getting an admin and operating in systems and really making the sale, the production handoff so smooth that I could have an estimator sell it, not talk to me, and the production manager knows exactly what's going on. So every year things just kind of broke and then things fixed and broke and fixed. And right now we have problems with production scheduling. It's like pretty intense when you got all these crews and like color matching their skill set. This guy can use a 40-foot ladder. This guy doesn't like heights. This guy here, this guy here, this guy here. That's a new problem that we're finding that we're working on right now. So we're always, obviously trying to learn and grow, but.
Absolutely. I was watching your school about page and I kind of had the sense, and I preface this by saying like, I mean, this is like the highest compliment ever. It kind of felt like to me that like you have gone and built the operating system for your own business. Yeah. You're now offering other people who work in the trade industry to basically just like take that operating system and run it. I was like, dude, this guy's like the Ray Kroc of trades. Like he's literally found a way to like McDonald's eyes, like this very traditional boots on the ground, complex, like, octopus tentacle sort of industry. And I was like, this is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I give it to all the coaches I had. I bought in so many different programs, like tons of different guys, worked with a franchise. Like all these systems are out there. Like there's some things like created or tweaked or like add in, like they use this tonality when you go to say this word or whatever. But like most of it was just like taking these different systems and then just whatever worked for me using. I don't know. It's above my pay grade to say I made all these things, but it was gathered along.
Bro, it's whoever can organize those things are the people that win. And that's one of the things that I think is so cool about school. You know, it's not just about the guru. It's like, how do you organize all of the collective wisdom into the one place, And I mean, it seems to be working for you guys really well. Actually, I want to dive into like one little tiny tactic. Obviously your school group right now, it's 999 or 997 per month?
999.
999 per month. Yeah. And I feel like, for someone, you typically work with guys who are doing like maybe like 200, 250, 300 plus a year.
Some guys are a mil, 2 mil, because they want to just come in to learn the door-to-door. That's like a big thing. I'm kind of known in the space as like a door-to-door guy. Most guys are around, like I'd say if I had average is like 650K, they want to hit their first million. And they're wearing all the hats and they're hanging the string of their whatever, trying to get this done. So,
yeah. So, I mean, some of the things that you teach are insane. I did a little bit of digging and I found one thing and I was like, dude, that alone is going to make people a lot of money. And it was like a certain close technique where it's the classic like, oh, can we have 24 hours to think about it? Or, my husband needs 24 hours to think about it. Like, how do you handle that? Because I think that's super cool.
Yeah. So I don't know if this is what you're talking about, but yeah, we offer a same day incentive. So we give a 10% discount on the day of the estimate. We make sure before we get there that they understand that. And, if the price makes sense, if you trust we'll do a good job, are you guys opposed to looking at scheduling? They say no. And they're like, okay, cool. So anyway, I go there, walk around with them, go and present the estimate. And let's say they need to think about it. There's a lot of things first I would ask in a very curious tone, like what they need to think about more so I could help understand and like maybe give them some more information. And then once the smoke screens up, if it really just is like, we just need to talk it over. Instead of me leaving and going home and hoping that they call me back, which they probably won't because they're going to get buyer's remorse before they even bought the thing. I'll just say like, I usually just say, hey, no problem. Like I got a couple calls to make. I can just step out for a second, give you guys time to chat. And then I can like come back in 5 minutes. And I know I said that this was a 24K job. It was like the biggest job I was going to sell. I was sweating in my car, writing it up. And they're like, just stay in the living room. We're going to go in the kitchen and chat. And me saying that created the frame of mind for them to take that. Cause sales is leadership. We got to lead them to where we want. And so then they talked, they came back like, we like you, we'll go with you. And if I would have left and just gave them 24 hours, then I would have probably lost the sale.
It's really interesting. And I mean, the reason why we love doing these podcasts is for the person listening who has just launched their school community, or they are thinking about launching a school community. There's actually so many things that you've shared that are really, really applicable. Like seeing your story in the context of like a bigger journey. So it's like the van gets stolen, something goes wrong with your social media, you know, name any problem that a school community owner might have. It's like, if you have that mentality where it's like, bro, this is just part of the story, I'm going to tell the story on a podcast someday. Or, you know, that close technique, that objection handle. And it's like, huh, how could I like work that into Zoom if I'm doing like high ticket closes on Zoom? It's like, could I like step into the waiting room for a few minutes or like something. So, you know, I love zooming in on those kind of tactical things, because I do think that in the specific, there are some cool universal things. How did you go about starting Trade Launch? And like that idea of like, no, I'm not just going to run the business, I'm actually going to sell the shovel.
Yeah. So let me think. So I started the Trade Launch. Well, it wasn't called Trade Launch. I started like internal trainings for my own guys. I got door-to-door reps. I would hire them off Indeed in different ways. I would find coaches and universities near me and email them to get access to their sports team and offer a culture building type of job where they can compete with their friends and knock on doors and learn skills. And then I'd have internal trainings for that. And then once people got better, I started building an internal training for sales. This is how you do this. And then I just started adding like my Google Drive stuff into a certain folder. And then I moved it over to school. And I saw another guy that used to do painting that started selling courses. And like, I saw the red dress. I'm like, oh man, I'm here like scraping paint off a wall. Like, I make $100 a month and like do it. Just click a couple buttons. Like, what? This is so easy. So I always thought it was easy. I just started really building out everything I knew. Okay, this is how you recruit subs. This is how you recruit labor. So that's how you onboard them as production managers. This is our culture slideshow. This is this. Almost every day, I'm thinking about what to add. I'm adding in a little file here, file there, and messaging the Facebook chat. Just like, hey, boys, like, not new things added. But I saw the red dress, and I really wanted to go all in. So it was really this year. At first, I built a Facebook group. I started building some traction because one of my buddies, he would say, hey, build an organic group, bring people in, start doing some lives here and there, get a kind of a culture going. And then I launched the program and we sold about 40 units relatively quickly. Like I would say about, it was about 5 or 6 months. And that was at a $8,400 USD, a high ticket for 4 months of coaching and access to the program. So then I was like, oh, this is great. This is awesome. But then all these fulfillments and this, and then my whole business on Trade Launch. And I'm like, I have no employees. And I'm like, oh, what about my other business where all my boys are at? They're like, where's Gio? And then I was kind of trying to ride two horses. But that's how it started. And it's still pretty new. One of the things is that I went to the scaling workshop with Hormozy, and I brought two guys that are kind of helping with Trade Launch.
Dude, you're pre-studying the school games. It's like you're getting the early access class, then win the school games, and then you'll get the bonus.
Them day two. I bought another day with them before.
Nice.
But I'm there, and I put up my hand, and I had this big question asked. I'm like, Mosey, like, I'm talking to all your guys at acquisition. They're saying I need to pick one business. I'm like, you know, you scaled your gyms and then started Gym Launch. Like, I scaled my painting business. I started a Trade Launch. Like, what would you do in my situation? He's like, he drew this graph. He's like, And this is personal for me. He just said, like, you know, high ticket sales, if you're teaching what you're doing, it's kind of like a graph like this. And he's like, painting business, boring, bigger money. Because we're talking about like exiting and selling and how it's a bit easier to sell a painting business if you're not the head of it. You don't have key man risk and these other things. So then my world got rocked. And I'm like, this is like a couple months ago. And I'm like, okay, I'm stopping Trade Launch. I'm going back. Like, totally said it. This is what I'm doing. Then I was like, what are the guys I have with program, all this stuff? And I was like, how can I? So then I started watching some different videos, and I was like, hey, I'm just gonna make it into a community, just $97 a month, da da da. I was like, but there's so many pendings I called at $8,000 that if I could just say it's $999 for a month, cancel anytime, come in, you know, see what you like. So I just decided to actually ask the question on the opening school games, like on April 2nd or April 1st. And then Carmozzi, he's just like, yeah, just why don't you switch it to $999 a month? Cause there's like $1,600 after the $2,000 down for the 4 months. Anyway, switched it. Started calling everyone, and that's why the leaderboards popped up pretty quick. So a bunch of people that are like $10,000 can't afford it, $1,000, let's do it.
Incredible. I love that you had built up the demand ahead of time. And that's a very, very, I think if someone's really studying this and they really want to learn how to win the school games, it's like that right there is the blueprint. It's like stoke the demand like crazy. And then when you open the gates, like the flood's going to come.
Yeah. And I'm excited really now because right now I'm doing 999 and then they get four coaching calls a week for different things. Like one of them is they can bring their door-to-door reps on that I help them hire. And then me and my door-to-door manager, we do like drills practicing to really get them wow. ready to go. I think a bunch of other calls, sales clinic, lead clinic, mindset. But that's for the 999 guys now. So I was like, hey, if you're paying 999 a month, you get access to the program, all the stuff I'm adding to it. I got a bunch of coming soon modules as well to kind of keep the retention there. And then they can come to the calls. If they don't want to come to the calls after the first month, they just want access to the course, it goes down to 97 a month. And then that way, you know, it's really little fulfillment for me. So, but if they're doing 97 a month and then they decide to leave and want to come back into the program, they got to pay the 999 starting.
Right. Very so good. Very sticky. I like that.
Yeah. And the goal is to get it. I really believe the goal is to get just 97 a month or maybe 197 across the board with a couple calls a month. That way I can really focus on my painting business, grow this thing to 10 million and then have way more stuff to share and kind of create this into a community of like, come along my journey with me as I scale my business rather than like I'm teaching you and I'm the coach and guru. So that I have all these ideas and I hopefully, you know, get in the top 10 so I can go up there and ask these questions to Sam and ask these questions to Mosey and kind of network with the guys and see where the best road to take this is.
Super cool. So, I mean, like, why is school working for you? Like, why do you enjoy the platform? Because, like, as you say, like, you've got a $4 million patent business. You can scale that to 10 million. You can probably exit that. You know, all these sort of things. It's like, why has this red dress been mixed metaphors, but so shiny that it's pulled you in?
Oh, bro. School is like, and especially the community aspect, like, the high ticket was definitely attractive at first. I was like, oh, instant money, you know, that's like three paint jobs, like just do it, you know, it's like sticky, whatever. But now that I see like more of the community aspect, that is where I'm like, wow, this is so cool. If it's low barrier to entry, especially too, which is where I want to get to, you know, it's just really cool. People can help each other. It's like everything kind of comes together in the community and it's a thing. It's very sticky. People will just stay, especially if you're getting value. It's like 97 a month, like, you know, whatever, like let's keep staying. Then it's reoccurring and one sale is forever if you have the value, which is in painting, one sale is really done. You don't paint their house every year. You paint maybe once every 10 years, right? So that alone, but also just the program of how everything's so easy to use. Everything's in one, the calendar feature, the classroom, like making a class on school it's one of my favorite things to do. I love going to Canva, making my thumbnail, putting it on, clicking on Loom, recording, and then it's boom, paste, done. It's like, so simple. It really allows you to like dreamers to just create right away instead of having to plan all this out. It's like the speed is so important. And then you can refine it over time. That's one thing. If people are thinking of starting school, it's like, just make whatever is on your heart. Just make the content, put it out there. Bring some people in maybe for free, get some feedback, make it better, but have something. Just make something so it's there. Even if you don't have any members, just make kind of what you think looks cool and try not to overanalyze it. And then some people and people typically will think it's way better than you think it is just because you see all your stuff all the time. So anyway, school is amazing. I'm so glad I'm on school. And when I saw Mosey come in, I was like, oh, this is, I'm ready to go.
Justin, that's awesome. I've really, really enjoyed this. And I know anyone who listens to this is going to have a blast as well. I guess like just as a final question for the person listening to this, who maybe they can't figure out what their niche is. They're not sure. Like they really want to start a school community, but like they don't really know what the topic is yet. Mm-hmm. Any advice you'd give to them on how to find that?
Yeah, I would think what if you're reading any books, what are you reading about? You know, what are you reading about? What kind of people do you want around you? Where do you think that you can actually genuinely help someone? And it could be in the strangest way. It could be fashion. It could be mindset. And maybe just to run a community does not mean you don't need to be like the expert just to run a group. Like you can totally run a group of what you want to be part of. Like what group do you want to be part of? And you can also find someone that you look up to and just DM them. Like who knows what could happen from that. I would say just get started and let the niche kind of figure itself out over time. You know, I got started painting, never thought this would happen, but it started getting traction. So it's like, I think the longer you wait, the harder it's going to be. I would just, if you have any type of calling, if you love reading self-development books, create a book club or something in there where you create a new summary of a book every week that you're reading or whatever it could be. There's so many things. And at the end of the day, I wouldn't have this goal of making all this money right away. I just have a goal of creating a really cool environment that people invite each other to. That's just going to be by really looking deep inside of like, what does your heart, you know, actually want, and where do you think you can give value? And it's tough. It's going to be tough for sure. But I'll just try things out, throw stuff at the wall, see what sticks, and then go from there, get feedback. And yeah.
And view yourself in the context of a story. Man, I love that.
Absolutely.
Well, I can't wait for you to hopefully win the school games.
Hopefully.
Can't wait to see you make your way to Vegas, meet Hormozy once again. Yeah. And my only request is, if that happens, that you somehow find the time afterwards to set up your grinding community where you teach people how to debone a chicken properly, so you solve that problem forever.
How to scale dog food business? How you
sick? We'll see you in an ad someday. And it's like, there's a school for everything. Justin, man, thanks a lot. Really, really appreciate it. And if you want to check out Justin's school, there'll be a link to Justin's school in the description of the video. It's also where you can hop in if you want to join the school games and compete alongside Justin and all the other awesome creators on the platform. Other than that, dude, thanks, man. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.